Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, the High Flying Falcons of Salisbury talk about their regular season success as we look ahead to the basketball postseason. Head coach Mike Brennan joins us to talk about his American men's basketball team and his Eagles making a late season surge heading into its Saturday game against Lehigh. Plus, the latest basketball highlights on teams in the D.C. region and a Super Bowl 50 laced edition of RCN Sports Talk Roundtable. These and more topics on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. We have some great guests lined up over the next 60 minutes, talking a lot of different local and regional sports issues. So we'll get to the studio panelist introductions in just a moment. But first, we introduce the co-host of the program and the man who spent the last 50 summers predicting that the Philadelphia Eagles would win a Super Bowl, and it hasn't worked out too well, Mr. Joseph Linwood Gray. Joe, how are you doing? And how's your Eagles in the Super Bowl prediction working out?
It's going to be a while.
Oh, yeah. You won't say that in July.
1960 was the last time I could really enjoy it. And I was just, I was like these kids that are with us today.
You said you were 28 years old yesterday.
18 years old. Anyway. Sorry. Why are you asking me about the Eagles? We've got some important stuff going on.
We do. We're going to get to the Super Bowl a little bit.
Playoffs coming in. We've got Super Bowl. We've got district team wrestling coming up. We got a lot of things going on. You're wasting my time talking about the stupid Eagles. Why are
the
we doing
stupid
that?
Eagle.
Why are we doing
I'm
going
to save that clip and bring it back in August when you want to. Why are we talking about the Eagles more? Let's introduce our special in-studio guests. And speaking of the league playoffs, they are one of the best teams in the Colonial League and certainly one of the most fun teams to watch. Joining us for the first half of our program, head coach Jason Weaver from the Salisbury basketball team. He'll be with us through our first three segments. And we're joined here in the first two segments by Tavon Weber and Dylan Bellatier. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in and congratulations on another great regular season.
Well, thank you very much for having us. And it's a cool opportunity to be here tonight.
Well, it's certainly our pleasure. I have one question I want to ask, and then Joe will hog the rest of the time asking the questions. And he doesn't know anything about basketball, so watch out for him. But my question is, I go to a very well-knowledgeable basketball guy before the season starts every year. And I did it again this year in November. And the situation and the response I get is very similar. Who do you like in the Colonial League? Well, Bangor's the team to beat, and Southern Lehigh has some players coming up, and Notre Dame, they're always going to be in the picture, and Wilson's going to surprise people. Well, what about Salisbury? Well, Salisbury lost three, four, five players. They're going to need time to rebuild. And every year, Jason, we'll give you the credit first of all, but every year you have your guys playing, ready to go, solid basketball from day one. So how is that at a smaller school? How do you rebuild it and have the teams playing so well all season long, each year, no matter how many people you lose to graduation?
Well, I think it's just a credit to the kids that we have and the athletes that we have and just guys that like playing basketball and are dedicated to doing it and put the time in during the summer and work hard and we have fun. I mean, I think it's just an enjoyable experience, a good bunch of guys, and it just seems that over the years we get younger guys that want to stay involved, and it's been a lot of fun. It's I think Salisbury's always been a basketball school, which helps in a way in my mind. It's got a good tradition, and I think that, you know, people want to play and be a part of the tradition here at Salisbury, and it's fun for me to be a part of it.
It's the community, too. I mean, it's a basketball community, and your location, I think, is part of it. You're right there on the fringe of Allentown. Big sport in Allentown's basketball, so, you know, you're surrounded by basketball, and I think the kids in Salisbury are all involved in it. I think it's great youth feeder programs and all of those things contribute to it, I would think.
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, I remember a situation a couple years ago. This wasn't this year or last year, but a few years ago, you had lost, I think, five players. I think almost five starters. And I talked to the opposing coach after that first game after you won. And I said, well, what happened? I said, I'll be honest. I thought Salisbury losing five people, they were going to need some time to regroup. They came out right away. You were playing solid defense. You were hitting your spots. You were just really aggressive. Getting ready for the season, is there kind of a plan that you've learned that you've had so much success with or getting them ready so that, I mean, some other coaches will talk about and they'll say, oh, the first week or two, we had some growing pains. But, I mean, how do you get them so focused for that first game?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with us playing defense. I mean, that's sort of my belief, mm-hmm. that I think everything else feeds off the defense. And if you're playing solid man-to-man, I mean, that's what we do. There's no secret to that, that I think we played zone maybe, you know, eight quarters at Salisbury in my lifetime there. So I think things build from that by playing really solid defense. And it creates transition. We like to get out and run. Obviously, it makes it a lot easier offensively. You can get some easy baskets. And I think the guys buy into it. I mean, it starts with defense in my mind. It starts with that intensity. I mean, myself as a player, I'm not a very skilled basketball player, but I'm just playing hard. And I think these guys buy into it about playing basketball mm-hmm. the right way and playing hard and playing hustle plays and diving for loose balls and just building from there with the energy. To me, that's 90% of it.
Yeah. Devon and Dylan, what do you attribute to the success? Dylan, you were kind of like smiling like, yeah, it's me or something like that. What was that? Was that a little head gesture for?
No, I mean, it all starts, you know. You come up through the program and, you know, you watch all the seniors who work so hard and you learn from them and you want to be just like them. So, I mean, coming through the program, I saw everybody, you know, working hard. So that's just what I wanted to do, you know.
Dylan, was it kind of the same story for you? You see the seniors when you're freshmen working hard?
That was well said. You know, you want to earn the respect from some players growing up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once you are grown up and you're the upperclassman, you want to set that example for the other kids. So, for me, it's just all about, you know, busting my butt and making sure that I'm setting a good example.
Yeah, I think the inexperienced part when you lose people today, and no, this goes for all the high schools, it's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago. When you lost, you didn't have so many extensive summer league programs and camps and team tournaments and all those things that go on through the year. They're almost year round. So when you lose a kids off your team and March rolls around, you have a couple of months. Every school has a couple of months where they've got a lot of their kids together, and you know, it gives you time to acclimate new kids into the program so that you kind of hit the ground running a little bit more than it used to be.
I would agree with you. You know, you talk to my wife. She says that basketball is a year-round thing.
It's
different. So, yeah, because I can remember in high school, our coach couldn't even be involved with us during the summer. Right. We'd be down at summer league at Cedar Beach or something like mm-hmm. that, and he wasn't even there. So,
somebody's
you're right. It
coach,
starts
yeah.
when open gyms start in April, and then all of a sudden we're doing tournaments and Sports Fest and Stellar and summer league, and we play more games in the summertime than we do during the regular season. We always talk about that. The summer, we play more games. It's sort of hard to believe.
It is, but that's when you get the inexperienced squad who's lost five or six seniors. You have time to get those younger players acclimated to the things you want to do as a coach and at a school so that you kind of hit the ground running. As I said, when November rolls around, it's not like you're just starting out. You know, they've had time to get used to things, and I think that helps.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like the summer league itself has kind of changed in that it used to be, you know, coaches weren't involved, first of all, as you said, but also it's kind of like, well, kids are going to be out there, they're just getting, you know, some exercise or they're some conditioning, but we don't really work on things. And now it seems there's more emphasis on, you know, working on certain things or at the very least developing some chemistry that can translate into success once you get to the fall and the winter season.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And I mean, there's sometimes I think that in summer league, there's more people at some of these summer league games down Cedar Beach for a tournament game than there are, you know, there were 20 people at some of our away games, and you can hear the ball bounce, and every word that I'm yelling is heard by everybody. There's more crowds sometimes at the summer because it just really brings the people out. But you're right, that time to play together and mesh as a team starts so quickly. It's not starting November 15th.
Exactly,
it starts in April again.
And you have another factor, too, and that's the AAU involvement. Nowadays, you know, you got AAU basketball going on, and kids are all over the East Coast. I mean, the better players, they're playing with better players from Philadelphia and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a different animal than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Devon and Dylan, what do you think about playing in the summer, and how much does that help you for the winter sports season then?
Well, I mean, it builds team chemistry. You know, it gives some of the kids that you're not so sure about, you know, who wouldn't usually get playing time during the regular season, it gives them, you know, a chance to show what they're made of. And you know, it builds team chemistry, I guess, I would like to say, for the summer league.
Personally, I mean, I think it's more fun. Yeah, you want to win games and all, but when it comes down to it, like, it's not as serious as a winter season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kids can just go out and play and have fun. And, I mean, with that, you build, like Tavon said, you build that chemistry. And that just leads into the regular season then.
Do you look forward to in the summer league too? Do you look forward to being able to face other kids that you don't see during the season? Like you play the Parklands and the Liberties and you know, you get to see them in the summer leagues and stuff, and that's different than once you start your season you're in the Colonial League where primarily you're playing Colonial League teams.
Yeah, it's definitely more fun playing bigger schools.
Yeah. You hold your own, by the way. I've seen some of your games in the summer league. Yeah. So you guys made a reputation for yourself.
Yeah, and it's not like you shy away. You're non conference schedule. No, you've been playing big schools. You played Parkland for a couple
played
of years.
Played Allen.
Northampton, Allen, Quakertown. How important was that for you when you first came over to try to build the schedule and schedule the larger schools on your non conference slate?
Yeah, I think it took some time in the beginning. Our schedule had some teams. I know we were playing, you know, some of the smaller schools in the beginning, but I think the last couple of years, we've had a good schedule, and I think that prepares us for the playoffs. I mean, I think we played Allen. We played them tough. We went up to Pottsville last week and took it on the chin a little bit. But I think playing them and that experience of going up to March Hall was a good experience for us. And I think it's going to help us. I hope it pays dividends. And I hope these guys like playing those kind of games, too, we want to be challenged. I mean, that's the hope, that it's going to make us better. And hopefully we talked about, you know, today was the first day of practice. The JV season has ended, right? And sort of a fresh start and an opportunity to prove ourselves once again. It's sort of, you know, we had a great regular season, 18-4, and credit to these guys. But, you know, I know they want more and there's more work to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys had big smiles when you were talking about, I think they enjoy playing the schools. Who are the non-conference opponents? Who did you like playing the most over the last couple of years?
I personally liked the Allen game this past year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got down early, but we fought right back and it was a 2-point game less than a minute. So, I mean, that just proved what we're capable of. I mean, a lot of people discredit Colonial League teams versus EPC teams now. So it was good to see that, one, we had the fight in us to come back, and then, two, just...
I think there are some schools that can't keep up with that. Yeah, I mean, that sort of plays right into your style.
Yeah, I think at one time there was a big difference. But now, because you play each other in the summer and, you know, you're in all these other leagues... You playing in Allen's not like it was when they played when Salisbury would face an Allen 25 years ago. You've seen these guys, you know, and Allen's a quality program. They have a good basketball, and you held your own with them. There are teams, I can tell you right now, I know this for a fact, there are teams in the East Penn Conference who don't necessarily want to play Salisbury. And it's not because it's beneath them. It's because they don't want to get embarrassed. It's true. Teams like you and Bangor, you know, Southern Lehigh, those kinds of teams, you hold your own and you represent your league well. And I think a lot of the bigger schools are a little leery about having to play teams like that.
You're interrupted, Tavon, by the
way. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to get his thoughts on the non-conference.
I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
You owe him a cheese sandwich.
I know.
Cheese sandwich.
I thought he'd say a steak or something.
Well, I know your budget, Joe. You give him like two French fries.
I retired.
Name your price, sir. Name your price, and afterwards he'll buy it.
I hope you're serious about the cheese sandwich.
No, he's the buyer. What were you going to say?
I mean, it's always fun playing out of league games. Personally, I think Pottsville was my favorite game going up to Martz Hall, even though we lost. But, you know, we haven't seen a defense like that. So, I mean, it definitely made us better. And playing those type of teams, you know, you go in, like, more nervous usually. I don't know. And I like that feeling. It's fun. I like playing better teams,
And Martz Hall is a place where people have lost over. It's hard to describe because it's a little unique. We don't have a place around here like it, and I've seen a lot of teams kind of go up there and struggle shooting because they just can't.
Well, it's a different setup. But you get the thing is, you're going to see places like March Hall when the playoffs come. You know, you're going to get to play in some of those kinds of venues, which is, you know, it's kind of neat.
I agree.
Are you done interrupting?
I'm done.
Before we get to our next, our first break here, Tavon, I want to ask, 24 points the other night. You put up a few 20-point-plus games. What's it like when you kind of get in a rhythm? Do your teammates start feeding you to the ball? Do you start saying, give it to me? Or take us through one of these 25, 30 games.
That's a bad question.
I mean,
some of your teammates, I think, want to comment on that, too. We'll hear from them later in the show. Tavon, you're up first.
I mean, I tend to shoot the ball a lot. So, I mean, when they're falling, I mean, they're falling. But, I mean... I honestly don't know how to answer that. I'm gonna be honest.
Does he have the green light? Pretty much, he can.
Who are you asking that question?
Quarterbacks are like that.
No, he's Tev's a guy that, you know, I think I'm more of the traditional guy. I think in my 6'6 guy should be on the block. You know what I mean? But he does shoot the ball well. And last night was the kind of night where he was hitting some shots. And so, you know, when he makes a three, his first look is always right at my face with a big smile on his face. Because he's like, "Coach, look, like, you don't want me shooting these, but guess what? I'm making jump shots.
So, as long as they go in."
Yes. Yeah. And I, you know, when I smile back, I remember the Allen game. He looked right at my face and, "Hey, boy, I just made another three." So, you know, he's got a good touch, but he also, I mean, to me, more than his offense, just his rebounding. We need him inside to rebound. He's averaging a double-double this year, and just I think sometimes we just sort of think that he's going to get every rebound, and it's not always the case, and we relax a little bit. But since a monster game was on the boards, and to me, that's more valuable to us than the scoring, to be honest with you. So,
Devon Weber and Dylan Bellatier are special players joining us for this segment. They'll be sticking around for our next segment as well. Jason Weaver, the head coach of the Salisbury boys basketball team, is with us for the program tonight. And right now it is time for our trivia question and to allow people at home a chance to weigh in and win tonight's special prize. So tonight's question does deal with the Super Bowl. What stadium holds the record for the largest attended Super Bowl? Which Super Bowl, and name the stadium that held it for the most attendees at a Super Bowl? We don't have to name the year. We had enough issues with that last year. Yeah. People trying to subtract 50 from 24 or whatever. What stadium holds the record for the largest attended Super Bowl? You need the stadium to be answered correctly in order to win tonight's prize. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, once again, tonight's question: what stadium holds the record for the largest attended Super Bowl? You don't have to name the year or anything, just need the stadium. So we'll take a break, be back with more of the Salisbury boys basketball team in a moment. But right now, time to check in with some of the hot teams down in the Washington, D.C. region.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. In the charter school division, the Lions of Washington Latin Public Charter School took on the Warriors of Thurgood Marshall Academy. The ladies took the floor first, with the Lady Lions jumping out to a big lead. The Warriors tried to fight back, but there was just too much firepower on the other side. The Lady Lions run away with it 65-11. In the men's division, it was senior night, honoring both the players and the cheerleaders of the class of 2016. The 18-5 Marshall Academy Warriors, third in the state rankings, stepping up against the 3-15 Washington Latin Lions. They took the floor and battled hard during the first half. The Warriors laid down a defensive package that clamped down the Lions. In the second half, the Warriors found their stride and found the bottom of the net. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest on the program, Jason Weaver, head basketball coach at Salisbury, joined this segment by Devon Weber and Dylan Bellatier, putting up with Joe Craig. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. I'm just happy that you're not bringing up football for these guys. Although,
I said a word.
Speaking of football, I'm going to save that question for a little bit. We have on the phone lines, Keith from Nazareth, would like to take a shot at our trivia question. Keith, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, Chris and Joe. Just wanted to know, is it the Rose Bowl?
Oh, right off the bat.
Right off
very
the
good.
Bat. Good job. Yep. That was Super Bowl 24, which was about 26 years ago. So
better at math this week.
Big attendance at the Rose Bowl. Good job.
Good job, Tom. Did you know that? Do you have to look it up, or did you get any help from anyone?
Well, actually, I knew it. I think the top three are all the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I believe they are. No. Yep. So, yeah. And you're probably old enough to remember those games.
Are you calling him
really
old? What is that?
What's that?
I really sound that old. Let me get out of my wheelchair.
Well, Keith, thanks for joining us, and I'll apologize for Joe on his behalf for insulting you and saying you sound old. You sound very young to me.
He'll be back to you right after the show, Keith.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy, thanks.
You're just knocking everyone off here, right? Left, Joe.
You
got
to throw things out there.
Speaking of football, though, Tavon, I want to ask you about football season, because the Salisbury team, you kind of were building the last few years. What was it like to have success? I know a lot of people were excited about the football program at Salisbury this year.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in the program, we always wanted to make a change, you know, our senior class, and, you know, coming up, you know, through the ranks and then finally, you know, making it happen, getting into the districts was a great feeling and a great accomplishment. And hopefully we left a big impact on the younger kids, you know. So hopefully they keep progressing and keep getting better.
You know, a lot of times we'll have teams with winning football programs and they struggle during basketball, and the coaches will say, well, I hope that success translate. Do you think the success you had with the basketball program the last several years, that might have helped you along pushing the football program forward?
Definitely not. I think more kids want to play basketball for Salisbury than football. Yeah. So, okay. I mean,
Salisbury's got a great history of successful basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, Salisbury High School in basketball, I mean, you're one of the greatest players ever to play in the Lehigh Valley at Salisbury.
Yeah.
I mean, Hubbard, I mean, there are players that, you know, that people just don't see anywhere else.
Yeah, and you coached him too, didn't you?
No, but I remember him. I remember him one of the best players ever to play in the Valley.
Dylan, what's your thoughts on the success this year before we let you go? I mean, you've been building this program. Obviously, you're one of the favorites again for the Colonial League. Inter-Districts is one of the favorites. Yeah. How happy are you to see this program through and, you know, continue the success year after year up through your senior year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I'm very dedicated to the game. I've been playing all my life. So this is just a moment that I've been eagerly waiting for. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that it's here now, I mean, the season went by pretty quick, so I just want to make the most of it and get ready for these playoffs. I want to make an impact and go out as a champion.
Good stuff.
Jason, do you think these two guys are ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, they're definitely ready. I mean, these are two guys that started for us last year, and, you know, we had a good run in the playoffs, and one of our guys got hurt. But I know that the focus is there, and I know they have some goals in mind, and just happy to be with them and come along for the ride.
These guys are fun to work with. I can tell already you have a lot of fun. All right, Tavon Weber, Dylan Belletier joining us. Thanks so much, Dylan and Tavon, for being with us. We're going to bring in some more members of the Salisbury basketball team in just a little bit. But right now we're going to wrap up this segment with our thumbs up, thumbs down. This is where we go around the horn here and get everyone's thoughts on an outstanding player or athlete or sports personality for doing something good or singling out someone for doing something rather poorly. Joe, we'll start with you.
Well, I want to give a thumbs up to Bob Frankenfield, the head basketball coach at Wilson High School. 35 years as a coach at Wilson, and he's going to retire at the end of this year. Had his last home game the other night, and a real gentleman, and we wish him well.
All right, Jason, how about you? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, I'm going to give a thumbs up, and I'm going to do it personal, but I'm going to give it to my wife, Tara, and my kids, who I just, we've been playing so many games. There's a lot of nights I come home, and they're sound asleep already, but just a thumbs up that they're supportive, and they stay involved and just allow me to coach and do something that I love. So to me, that's the greatest thing, that a family that supports me to do coaching, which I love to do.
That's key. Dylan, how about you? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Sorry, this might be a little bit long, but I can't single out someone personally, so I'm going to give a thumbs up to my family. They've been so supportive, and my parents especially, and then even my brother. You know, he's been a big influence for me. Mm-hmm. I've always looked up to him, and you know, I've been playing with him and his buddies, the alumni of Salisbury, in pickup games, and that definitely helped me out for, like, the physicality of the game. And
toughened you up.
So, yeah, just the Salisbury community.
Great. We'll take it out of Tavon's time. No, Tavon, go ahead. Time's yours.
I'm going to do thumbs down to our student section. I don't think we've had one yet this year.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That bulletin board material, we'll put that up there. All right, and a thumbs down for me, I want to give it all out to all the Cam Newton haters. The guy is one of the most dynamic people in sports. He's the best quarterback out there right now, and the media just wants to bust on him. They're running these surveys on whether this and that, and just let him speak his mind. Enjoy him. He's a breath of fresh air. He's a great entertainer. Just get off his back and let him play and have fun watching him out there on the Super Bowl. All right, right now it's time for Joe's Take. It's Joe's favorite part of the program. It's where he alone gets to talk. I'm not allowed to interrupt him, and I still have to do this each week because upper management seems to think this is a good idea. So, Joe, go ahead.
Saw one of the most boring things I've ever seen the other day, and I happened to sit down and try to watch the NFL All-Star Game. You want to talk about a joke. The NFL has to do something. Chris, It's a joke. Look, have 7-on-7 football like you have at practice. Do that or something else. Or go back to what they used to do back in the 50s, 60s, and even the 70s. Take the NFL championship team and in July have them play a game against the college all-star team and let that be the game. But what they're doing now is a joke. It's nobody wants to hit anybody. Nobody wants to tackle anybody. Nobody wants to block anybody. Get rid of it. It's not worth watching. And that's Joe's take.
I didn't think anyone was stupid enough to sit through the whole thing. All right, more of the Salisbury basketball team and some Super Bowl commentary also coming up right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. I've been begging Coach Weaver here to add a veteran presence to his coaching staff and take
that.
Joe Craig off our hands here. Well, we're happy to welcome in for this segment Chad Cooperman and Blake Jones from the Salisbury basketball team. Did you want to respond to anything Tavon or Dylan said? Because you spent a lot of time laughing during our first two segments. Some of the things they were saying and doing out here. Any response to that?
Yeah, definitely. Tevi with the green light action. sometimes you give him the ball and, you know it's not coming back. When he's making shots, it's nice to watch. Yeah.
Blake, you were kind of a similar story?
Well, they are both great senior leaders for us, and they really work us hard and they're very good for us.
Yeah. That's a politically correct response.
Smart. Well, he's a junior, too. He's coming
he's
back.
He's got to be nice. They're seniors. Yeah. He's a junior.
But before I ask about your basketball success, Chad, I want to ask you, you're an outstanding baseball player. You're going to Bloomsburg to play. I don't recall ever seeing a Salisbury baseball game in which a player made a fundamental mistake. I mean, every time the man gets on first, you get the bunt down, runners on second, ball's hit on the right side, he moves over. And I think, you're very
well
similar
coached.
In that. Very, very well-coached staffs, but you know the fundamentals. Where does that come from? And is that something that's stressed or something you guys just kind of inherently cling on to and last throughout your career at Salisbury?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that both in baseball and basketball, our coaches are kind of old school and they practice the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of fundamental work for baseball and basketball. And it's just coming to practice every day and working hard for both sports and kind of translates onto the field and that's just how we go about our business.
You have pretty solid feeder programs too, don't you, Coach? I mean, you're younger, where the younger kids are playing in baseball too. I would think you know, it's probably taught all the way up through the system, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. The youth programs are pretty strong in Salisbury. I actually grew up in Parkland.
Oh, is that right?
Going up through South Parkland and that. But, it's definitely a good place to play baseball and basketball.
Blake, what's it been like for you? A bunch of hardworking kids. You're hustling. You like to play that up-tempo style of play. What's it like playing at Salisbury and having success the last few years?
It's been fun the last couple of years now. We've had some good teams, so it's exciting playing with them. And yeah,
I don't. You know what? I don't remember many bad teams at Salisbury basketball. Thinking back, I've been around the Valley a long time, and I don't remember a lot of teams that weren't competitive. I mean, they didn't always win championships, but they were always, you never took Salisbury lightly. You never did. So I think that's great for your program.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's what helps us is sort of that tradition we talked about and kids wanting to play for Salisbury basketball, and obviously started with Coach Pollock, and he's got 539 wins, and that banner's up when you walk into the gym, and you just think he averaged 18 wins a year for 30 years. That's amazing. You know what I mean?
And Salisbury deserves a lot of credit for whatever reason. There's so many great coaches in this area, and for years there was a lot of coaches they didn't have the gyms named after.
Well,
Salisbury was one of the first.
We talked fundamentals a little bit ago about baseball and basketball, and I know Bill Pollock's assistant was Frank Yelenko. Frank Yelenko was the head baseball coach, and you want to talk about fundamentals. I mean, those guys, that's what it was all about, and I think it built a great background, a great tradition at Salisbury that you guys have continued with, coaches that you have now. I think it's great.
One of the ways that you continue the success, and the guys before talked about senior leadership, how tough is that to find, you can have guys that have talent to take over, but how tough is that to find kind of like a leader or a locker room leader when you have players moving from juniors to seniors or sophomores to juniors? Do you have to like anoint a team captain, or do they kind of, have they policed themselves over the last few years as far as picking out leaders off the court?
We always vote for our captains and let the players vote, which I think is a good way to do it to gauge, who they think should be a leader of the team. And I think The good thing is it takes different kinds of leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some people that are lead by example and their intensity and they're fine. There's other guys that make things a little bit more light and loose, and it's that good combination of things because, you know, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low, and I think you need that combination because there's all kinds of different personalities on the team, and some guys respond differently to other things. So I think
some guys can't handle being a leader too.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing to have some diversity in your leadership, and it helps. But you know, we've always had a really strong senior classes throughout the years, and I'm just proud of these guys and how hard they work and the effort they put into it. And it's, as we said, it's been a fun season. We're just hoping we can keep it rolling.
Yeah. Chad, you gave a thumbs up when you heard about solid leader. So would you consider yourself one of the key guys in the locker room?
I mean, I try to be a good example, especially during practice and things like that, bringing intensity, especially on defense. That's kind of my specialty. But the other two guys that are over here, Dylan and Tevi, they do a great job as well. Mm-hmm.
Now, Blake, you're a junior, so how would you rate these guys as senior leaders? Are they good examples for you?
Yeah, they definitely keep things loose all the time, but come game time, they can get intense. It's interesting sometimes. You see a different side of them come out.
And, of course, you realize who's going to be the leader they're going to talk about next year. It won't be these guys. It'll be you because you'll be the senior next year. Be interesting.
Jason, how would you rate these guys as captains? As far as off, they're off the
that's
court.
That's not a fair.
That's a bad question. Well, the kids are saying things.
But
the coach
still
should
got
get
games
equal
with these guys. Ask him after the season's over.
No, like I said, I think it's there's very different styles between the three of them, and they all complement each other very well, and that's I think that's the best fit. You know what I mean? There's certain guys that respond better to Tev's leadership, or certain guys better to Dylan or Coop, and it just sort of depends on your style of doing things, and that's so helpful to me because I'm a very intense, like, focused guy. I'm very old school. Like, I still have a flip phone from work, and you know what I mean, and I still have a big box TV at home. So to be honest with you, like, I'm very old school and stuff. But I think those guys keep things light at times and help me because there's certain times, you know, I'm ready to smash a clipboard or something like that. They, you know, they keep things light, which is good. Yeah. But when it comes time to be serious and focused, these guys, they're ready to go. And that's the important thing. Like when the ball's ready to tip, are we ready to go? Are we ready to play the way that I expect us to play?
They can separate it.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Chad and Blake, your thoughts about the season? You had a very successful year. I know it didn't end as the way you wanted to last night against Southern Lehigh, but still you're in very good shape. You got a first-round bye in the Colonial League playoffs, so you can sit back and watch teams battle on Saturday before you play. So your thoughts overall on the regular season?
I think we've battled through a lot of adversity lately. We had about a 10-day break where we couldn't practice or play over the winter break. And how we handled that, I think we did pretty well. Some of that might be catching up with us more recently, but I think overall we've had a pretty solid season.
Mm-hmm. Blake, how about you? Your thoughts on the regular season?
We had a very good season. We had a little rough stretch the past couple of weeks, but we're definitely still a very good team, and we're ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, optimistic about the postseason? No predictions, though, I believe.
No. I mean, I'm optimistic. Obviously, I mean, you know, Bangor had a great season. You know, we struggled against Southern Lehigh last night. We took a loss to Saucon, but, I mean, I think with the teams in the playoffs, we're ready to compete against them and looking forward to it. I mean, the Colonial League is always very balanced, and I know these guys are still thinking back from last year. There's a bad taste in mouth from losing the championship to Bangor then. You want to have that opportunity to hopefully play next Friday night and then see what happens. You know, that's your goal to get to that point.
And I think playing Pottsville and Allen in the as independents can help you when that crunch time comes now. Because you've played some pretty good teams. It's not like you've lost a lot of games to teams that you should have beaten. You know, you played some really good teams, and that helps you, I would think. Would help get the kids ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a credit to these guys the last couple of years that, you know, I don't think we've had a loss to an under 500 team. And to me, that shows some focus because there's a lot of times there's some nights where you're maybe not there mentally because you just had a rough game the night before and now you're playing the next night. And that's a credit to those guys as a basketball team and as individuals that when we need to take care of business or play hard, we're always ready to go. So, yeah, we... you know, last night we didn't execute down the stretch, but I think it's going to serve as some motivation for these guys hopefully moving forward. And we got a week to get ready for Southern Lehigh again, which will be interesting.
So. Yeah, certainly will. And we'll have the semifinal games next week, next Wednesday night.
Right. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Right now it's time for the roundtable. This is where we have a variety of different topics, although everything tonight will be focused in on Super Bowl 50. We'll have some fun with the big game coming up this Saturday and get a different exchange of thoughts and opinions on some different topics. about Super Bowl history and also this big game coming up this Sunday. So question number one, Super Bowl 50. What is your favorite Super Bowl memory of the 50 years? Coach Weaver, we'll start it off with you.
Well, I'll start because I hate to admit it in the Philadelphia area here in the Lehigh Valley, but I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'll go back.
Shut that mic off.
So I'll go back. I mean, and I'll tell you when I became a Cowboys fan. It was 1977 or 78 when they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl, and for whatever reason, Roger Staubach was playing. That's the team I picked, and the only reason I picked them to be my team is because they won the Super Bowl, and I stuck with them ever since. So I go back to that's my whole – I'm a huge Cowboys fan. It just started because I watched them in the Super Bowl, and they won. So to me – that sort of established my rooting for the last 35 years.
So you take back all the nice things we've been saying about you over the years.
I was a five-year-old Fairweather fan, so there's got to be some, you know.
Chad, how about you? Favorite Super Bowl memory?
I'm not really a big football guy, so I just kind of like every Super Bowl Sunday, getting together with friends and family and things like that. So I don't have a particular memory.
That's good. Blake, how about you?
Same with Chad. I don't really have a specific memory that I can remember, but it's definitely fun to watch the games every year.
You're so focused on practicing and getting ready for the next game, you don't even care about the Super Bowl. That's wonderful. Joe, how about you?
Well, I think the Eagles coming up 3 yards short from winning a Super Bowl against New England when New England cheated to beat them, that would be one. And I would have to tell you, the catch made by the Giants receiver about 4 or 5 years ago, that was a memory I will never forget. That catch he made off of the other guy's back going down, that was, I can't remember his name, but it was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in the Super Bowl.
All right, topic number two, favorite Super Bowl player throughout history. Blake, we'll start this one with you.
Oh, that's a tough one, but this year I'm really looking forward to see Cam Newton play.
Cam Newton.
So, yeah.
There's a Cam Newton hater, by the way, sitting next to me.
No, not at all.
You ripped him a couple
weeks
ago.
I ripped him for his antics after. I don't like anybody carrying on.
Let him enjoy.
After
he's having fun. Something. He's a great player. No, he celebrates in the end zone, which is all right. Not like these linebackers who celebrate a sack after 2 yards.
Act like you've been there before.
Chad's turn here. Chad, who's your favorite Super Bowl player?
I'd have to go with Richard Sherman. I'm not really a fan of some of the cockiness that he brings to the table, but I always appreciate good defense.
Yeah. Very good. Jason?
Well, I'm going to stick with the Cowboys. I'm going to say Emmitt Smith. I mean, just I can remember watching the Cowboys win those three Super Bowls.
Joe, calm down.
You know what I mean? So I'm sorry I'm sitting next to you.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, to me,
he's one of the
just,
best.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
That's not what you say all the other time about Emmitt Smith.
That's not my choice, though.
All right, go ahead.
My choice is the greatest player to ever play in the Super Bowl and with success. That's Joe Montana. I mean, how can you argue with that?
All right, topic number three. What's your favorite Super Bowl commercial? Chad, we'll start with you. What's your favorite Super Bowl commercial of all time?
Doritos puts a lot of good commercials out there. They had the one in the plane last year and the time booth or whatever you want to call that. But Doritos always has a good selection of commercials for the Super Bowl.
That's a good one. All right. Blake?
Yeah, I agree. The Doritos ones are usually pretty funny. So I can't really think of a specific one, but they always come out with some good ones.
All right. Coach Weaver?
Yeah, take Blake's his response. He goes, "That's going to be a tough one because that's a tough one for me." To be honest with you, I can't really think. I don't even know if it was a commercial in the Super Bowl. The only one I think about as a kid was that, you know, "Where's the beef" from Wendy's, but I don't even think that was a Super Bowl commercial. But that's
probably aired during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably aired during the Super Bowl. I just remember that old lady screaming that "Where's the beef."
Joe, are you going to say what you said off the air, or are you going to be a coward here?
There are a number of them. I would say the time the Volkswagen landed in the tree, that was one. The Anheuser-Busch with the horse, this most recent one with the horse, finding his previous, the guy who raised him out in the middle of the street, that's a great one. And, of course, they had some other Anheuser-Busch with the dogs, the Dalmatians, that were outstanding. Yeah.
You said the Kate Upton burger commercial, but you're not going to mention that. Topic number four. We can't mention that on the air. Topic number four, hype level for the Super Bowl. Is it about right, too much, or too little? Coach Weaver, we'll start with you. The hype for the Super Bowl and everything that leads up to
it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably just right in my mind. I think it's, you know, it's the only sport, the professional sport, where it's just one game. You know what I mean? So I think it's pretty cool. And I think I'd like that they take the 2 weeks off and give everybody the opportunity to sort of enjoy it and get the players out there and do the media day. So in my opinion, I think it's just right.
Yeah. I did like the question from the AccuWeather people asking about Cam Newton, what do you think about the starting temperature? That kind of gets a little carried away. But the whole week, I think, is a lot of fun. Chad, how about you?
I think this year, maybe just because it's taken a backseat for me, but I think it's a little bit too little, especially this year. I didn't really get a chance to watch too many of the championship games, but too little for this year. In the past, it's been just right.
Good. Blake, how about you?
I think it's just right. I'm looking forward to watch it, but I don't really get too excited. Like, doesn't matter to me who wins, stuff like that. So,
Joe,
I think it's too much. I don't like the 2 week wait. You've been playing one game every week, all the way since August or September. Why all of a sudden you need 2 weeks because of all the hype, the press and everything? I'd rather see, and Chris Zaya, one of our people here, who had a great idea, and he's right. I think it's a great idea. Do away with the All-Star game, and if you're going to have the two-week period like you do now, in the middle week, which would have been this past weekend, have the two teams that lost in the semifinals, have them play each other for third and fourth place. I think that would be a great way to go.
Well, who wants to see a third place
team? No, I think it's pro football. You would have had a weekend last weekend, and you would have had a great game.
No, it's a lousy idea.
I think it's a great idea. Give them a little bonus. They make a little extra money. I think that would have been a good way to go. I agree with you on that one.
That's not a good sign. When you endorse someone, Chris, you might want to run for the hills.
He's a Mets fan. What can I say?
Topic number. Now you're assaulting the Mets fans watching us up in New York.
I know.
Super Bowl question number 5. What's the biggest thing to watch for this Sunday? Joe will come right back.
Biggest thing? Oh, that to me is simple. The biggest thing to watch is the Denver defense. If they can contain Cam Newton and keep him from running wild, that's the thing to watch. If they can do that, Denver will win the game.
That's too serious. We're trying to have fun here.
That's a thing to watch.
Jason, how about you? A fun thing to watch for this Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know we were going fun thing either. I was
trying to be fun thing.
No, I mean, I think to me, it's just sort of with Peyton Manning, just to see, you know, if he does win, is he going to retire? And I mean, just what a great career. Yeah, and is he going to go out on top like John Elway did if they do get the win? So I think to me, he's just he's a fun guy. I love his commercials and stuff like that, and I think that's what I'm looking for.
So
if he goes, when is he going to retire and sort of go out on top? That'd be a pretty cool way to do it.
Yeah. And it's funny if he doesn't win.
And his not caring after something happens good is the way all of them ought to be.
He's too old. He can't maneuver around like Cam Newton.
He didn't when he was young either.
Right.
Chad, how about you?
I like watching Cam Newton play and how much fun he has when he plays. I'm not a big fan of all the celebrations that he does, but he just has such a fun time playing the sport. It's really fun to watch.
Great player. Yeah,
he's a great athlete, Joe Craig.
Great
Stop
player.
Busting.
He's a great player.
Blake, how about you?
I'm looking forward to see Cam Newton. He's more of the newer generation of the quarterbacks versus Peyton Manning, who's an older generation. And I definitely like watching Cam Newton. I'm a fan of all his celebrations. I like the dabs.
See? And you're so low-key. Now, I wouldn't think you would be. You sound
he's
so quiet
and
reserved. He sounds reserved.
He's
I'm
very smart.
He says that.
These are all smart guys.
I'm sure they are.
All right, topic number 6. What's your favorite past Super Bowl game? You have Joe's only 27, so he doesn't remember all of them. But Blake, we'll start with you. Do you have a favorite Super Bowl game or one that stands out in your mind?
Remember a few years back when the Steelers played the Cardinals, it was an exciting finish. I'm not sure which Super Bowl that was, but that was a fun game to watch.
And that followed a series of years in which there were a lot of blowouts. So that was that was a really fun year because you almost expected the game to be a blowout, and it turned out to be a great one. Chad, how about you?
Last year was definitely my favorite. It was down to the wire and things happening like that. I enjoy a game that lasts the entirety of it and is really decided on the last play. It's always good to watch.
Coach Weaver?
Well, I think it was probably 1996. It was the Cowboys against the Steelers. I can remember the Steelers were coming back, and I believe it was Larry Brown had a pick of Neil O'Donnell, I believe, at sealed it. And I believe Larry Brown was the MVP of that Super Bowl for the Cowboys. So watching my buddy Jeff Stoneback's basement. So you remember that game, Stoney? That was a good one.
Do you make your players run extra laps when they start laughing at your answers here? Dylan's like falling over here laughing at your answer. Right?
The one I remember, and it's the
Wait, I was asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. It would be the one that changed pro football, this was long before these guys were ever on the scene. That was the year that Broadway Joe beat the Colts and made the AFC a valid force. That was the one that I remember the most.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks so much, Coach Weaver, for joining us. Chad Cooperman, Blake Jones here, and Tavon Weber and Dylan Bellatier for joining us early. Continued success. We'll see you next Wednesday on RCN, and good luck in the league and the district playoffs.
No, thank you very much for having us.
All right. Jason Weaver and the Salisbury boys basketball team here again. We'll see that game next Wednesday as part of the doubleheader semifinal for the Colonial League coming up on RCN TV. We'll be back with our final segment of RCN Sports Talk right after this. Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk. We're very happy to be joined by the head coach of the American men's basketball team, Mr. Mike Brennan. Mike, thanks for joining us. Welcome to RCN Sports Talk again.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Congratulations. You've won five in a row, including a big win over the number one team in the Patriot League. First of all, could you talk about last night's big win over Bucknell?
Well, it was a big win. I mean, Bucknell's a terrific team. They're currently in first place in the league. So to be able to, be in the game with them, be able to compete and actually beat them is a huge win for us and a real confidence booster for our guys.
Last night you had three different players scoring in double figures, and it seems like you've been getting a lot more balance and the team's really coming together and you're getting scoring and offense from a lot of different points. Could you talk about how the team has been gelling over the last few weeks?
That has been the key. I mean, we've been able to score some points and take a little pressure off our defense. In the way we play, we like to share the ball. So, many nights we have multiple guys in double figures. And, the guys are just getting more and more comfortable as each game goes by.
Yeah. Coaches will often talk about trying to peak and playing your best basketball just this time of year as you head into February and just before the playoffs. Do you feel you're kind of on that upward swing, that you're heading towards that peak right before the Patriot League playoffs get underway?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our guys have worked hard. They persevered. We, lost a ton of games early on, just playing a lot of young guys. But they stuck with it, and I felt like we've improved over the year. And, we're finally, putting ourselves in a position to be in these games and giving ourselves a chance to win. So hopefully we can just continue to improve.
Could you talk a little bit about Jesse Reed, one of two seniors on the roster? It seems like early on he was really shouldering a lot of the load on the court, probably as well as off the court. How much has he meant to the program, and how key has he been trying to work this transition when you had you lost so many people to graduation, you have so many great younger players coming in? Has he been kind of the bridge from the success you had in the past to the success you're having now?
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's been outstanding all year. He scored a lot of points for us over the years, and he's just had to do so much more this year. And I give him a lot of credit because he's been, just stuck with it, stayed positive, helping the young guys, helping the new guys. And, his leadership has been terrific this year. So, and we ask him to do a lot. He's still got to score points, but he's got to, he's had to do a whole lot more this year. Mm-hmm. And his game is really, really expanded.
One of the other players I wanted to ask you about specifically was Delonte Jones, a freshman. Had another big game last night, had a team-high 18 points against Bucknell. Could you talk about his development and how exciting it is for American fans to watch him play so far this year?
Yeah, well, Delonte is a natural scorer. For him to be able to sort of, pick and choose his spots so well, within our offense for a freshman, it's difficult to do. So, for him to sort of seamlessly do it, he doesn't force anything, just sort of lets the game come to him. Mm-hmm. We're excited. He's putting points on the board, and that's what we need.
Yeah, had a team-high 18 last night, now has his per-game average 11 points, 4 rebounds per game. Could you talk about some of the other players and their development, and how much fun has it been watched for them to kind of grow into this system and grow as a team?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole group has been terrific. I mean, guys like Charlie Jones and Marco Vasic, have played a lot of minutes for us, and they're, kind of role players, but you know what you're going to get from them. They play so hard, and they, defend and rebound. But, I'm excited about the new guys and the young guys. I mean, Paris Marakos, our starting center, had a really good game last night against Bucknell. Mm-hmm. And then, we got a couple other freshmen that have been playing a lot of minutes. James Washington, the point guard, is really sort of coming along, getting real comfortable within the offense. And then Andrea Matic is another center who's, he's able to score and throw passes, get rebounds. So, they're contributing to us winning. So it's fun to coach them every day, and it's fun to watch them grow.
Now you have Lehigh coming up Saturday. Your thoughts on playing the Mountain Hawks, and what are some of the keys to getting a win against Lehigh and also to keeping that momentum going that you've built over the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, Lehigh is a really good team. I mean, they were picked to win it in some polls, and they have the returning player of the year and Tim Kempton. Karon Ross is one of the best guards in the league. Austin Price, they got some other guys that are, scoring wings. So they're definitely a talented team. We're going to have our hands full at their place on Saturday. But we're looking forward to it and, looking forward to competing.
We're joined by Mike Brennan, the head coach at American. Thoughts on the Patriot League overall? You got that big win over Bucknell. You have Boston, Navy, and Loyola all coming up. Teams that are right in front of you in the Patriot League standings. Is it nice to have a little bit of your destiny under your control when you play the teams that are right in front of you as you jockey for the postseason?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems like it's been like this every year where everybody beats each other up. And it's a really good league, so there's really no, top half or bottom half. Anybody can beat anybody else on any given night. So you just got to, do your best to prepare for each game and, make sure the guys come ready to play.
All right, Mike, we appreciate you joining us. We know you just finished practice, so we certainly appreciate your time. Congratulations on the five wins in a row, and best of luck against Lehigh this Saturday.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Mike Brennan, the head coach of the American men's basketball team, winners of five in a row. Also, our thanks to Jason Weaver and members of the Salisbury boys basketball team for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.